listening, there may be some things that people say or they present that actually contradict what you want to achieve in your area. Please just listen with an open heart and an open mind. Try not to judge. Just listen, because there may be good reasons why, in a different area, they are proposing something which you do not want. So just be open to that and hold that lightly. Yeah, because your area will have an opportunity to say what's important to you. On your piece of paper, I'd like to maybe draw a line down the middle. And on one side, I want you to note what's in common. What is in common? What are the similarities as you're listening to the different presentations? What are the themes and trends in what you're hearing? So you may be hearing things again and again in different presentations, which might suggest these are important issues or factors or considerations. So that's one column, so similarities. The other column is contradictions and differences. So the things which perhaps you're thinking, oh no, this really contradicts with what we want in our area, or North America is completely different from Latin America. And just note the differences in that column. And that's the exercise. So to listen correctly, listen to an open heart, and note the commonalities and the differences. And that's it. So I'm going to invite the four areas I'm going to invite to speak this morning are Australia, New Zealand, US, North America, Latin America, if you're ready, and UK and Ireland. Is that okay? So can I invite Australia and New Zealand to present first? And as it gets towards 15 minutes, if you're taking that long, I will let you know.
Yeah.
That's okay. Cool.
Just as part of this, or just a
just listening. And in fact, if you could keep it to 10 minutes, that would be great. Because then we won't be late for lunch.
We're quite spread over a geographical area, and we had three think tank sessions, one in Auckland, one in Melbourne, and one in Sydney. None of the three were able to devote a day or the suggested length of time that we had. All of them were much more compressed. And actually everyone found in each of those sessions that they could have done with a lot more time, even though they weren't able to give it more time. Hopefully this is all self-explanatory. So what does the world look like in 2038, in 19 years time? There was a sense of isolation. People, the world being perhaps more dominated by into IT, and even where people are sharing spaces, they're sort of looking at their phones. So in a way, we're very much projecting that sense of isolation that the world is talking about, actually, that Arthur Bardon mentioned, that we're heading towards separation rather than connection. Not only with each other, but also from nature. Someone mentioned it's a classic picture of someone looking at a television, looking at a tree onto television while the tree is sort of outside their house. There was also a sense of conflict of ideologies as well, and sort of we're very aware of that at the moment, I think, in the world, a conflict of ideologies where we're looking at Hong Kong, Brexit, all sorts of aspects of the world are conflicts of ideologies. And also, this is sort of really a burning world in a way, just as we're experiencing in the Amazon at the moment, looking at are we facing a more apocalyptic view or experience of the world, whether that's the environment, refugees, more personal existential crises, pandemics, a fight for resources, etc. So Is this the world we're facing? There was mention in terms of the existential aspect and the isolation, that sort of all the psychological problems that flow from that, and even increases in suicidality and the product of those problems. So it's rather negative sort of perspective into the future, and maybe that's because we were looking at Tree Ratner. What can Tree Ratner offer these particular tendencies? So what were the core elements of Tree Ratner in 20 years' time? There was a strong element of, I suppose it's more humanity was sort of a common thread. A warm, friendly face, contact is highly valued, but a level of diversity I think the International Council has been working on, or been working on in Tree Ratner for some time, is looking at how do we ensure diversity and inclusiveness. So people do have, no matter what their background, a sense of belonging. That there's this element of innovation is present, but very much with grounded in the traditional Tree Ratner approach, so grounded in the system of practice. So an element, the words were used, a balance between the radical and the traditional, or as we were talking yesterday, more that, you know, developments as opposed to a more conservative approach. And there's not only more collaboration, and we're more able to collaborate, more facilitative sort of approaches to everyone coming together, and a sense of cooperative leadership. So leadership which is sort of connected right through the movement, right through the right through Tree Ratner. This area of being decentralised, obviously Australia and New Zealand were a long way from the action a lot of the time in terms of some of the decision making, and what does decentralised mean? But there was certainly, I suppose, this urge to be involved, engaged in the processes of decision making, in the processes of establishing leadership. Well-resourced was really important, that we have a well-resourced movement. More support for full-time Dharma teachers and teachers of teachers, so in a way, teacher training. Successful right livelihoods, encouraging living a full-time Dharma life. I suppose it goes back to being inclusive. There was also mentioned activities for children and teenagers, and even closer liaison with other religions. So that's, I suppose, very much the movement end. So Buddhist is having this strong flavour of the transcendental. So it's definitely beyond wellness, definitely beyond this culture of wellness, and that we're offering a strong flavour of the transcendental. And that we remain very true to the radical nature of the Dharma. I think that's pretty important in a post-Bante world, that we have that radical element, which in some ways, for some of us, Bante definitely represented. New expressions of practice and devotion is, I think, came out of a sense that, I suppose a bit like something like Chinese Buddhism, that took a long time to establish roots into the Chinese culture. And it was only once those roots were deeply established, I think Stephen Batchelor says like something like 500 years, that real expression into art and culture started to happen, very much based on a Dharmic perspective. So it's not looking necessarily at new practices and new forms of devotion, But those things coming from a deep connection with the Dharma, deep connection with the tradition that we're coming from. Yeah. What do we want to put in the Tree Ratan Museum? Lack of transparency was a big one. So I suppose this engagement with decision making is really important. And distrust of leadership bodies. So I think that's a really important one for us to take on board. That anti-family sentiment gets binned as well, goes into a museum. Classism and pretentiousness. So, you know, particularly I think was mentioned some forms of sort of cultural art where, you know, this is higher than this. It was great to hear Bantu's listening to Elvis Presley. because I think that's a sort of thing, you know, you've got to be into this poet if you're going to be a Tree Ratan Buddhist, and you can't listen to that form of music. The tall poppy syndrome is perhaps particularly Australian. The tall poppy syndrome is where anyone growing above, putting their head above the mass, quickly gets chopped down. And it's an important one particularly in Australian culture, that we're aware that we do want excellence, we do want qualities to shine out. And so it's a more cultural expression of something that brings people down, that puts people at the same level. Yeah. Do people understand that? Yeah. Yeah, so this, there was also this this sense of hierarchy and anti-authority is part of there. So the hierarchy, again, perhaps more Australian than New Zealand, but it's a real distaste for hierarchy. And in some ways, that's kind of conventional hierarchies, but it very quickly moves into anything natural. So it I think it does stop the growth of a real sense of spiritual hierarchy in our centres and order in Australasia.
It stops people realising their true potential because there's no support for people to reach their true potential because you get above someone and suddenly bang.
And these were other things which we don't want in 20 years' time. We don't want things to become too bureaucratic or a sense of institutionalisation to happen. Of course, the institutions are important, but this institutionalisation is more where those institutions become hardened and set in their ways and formulaic rather than something that arises out of our interaction as a community and our own practices. There was a concern that things are too UK-centric. So the internationality that we're trying to build here is really important. That we don't become too influenced by political or cultural biases. And they will be different around the world, obviously. Insistence that we operate on the basis of democracy. So sometimes we get people saying, look, let's put this to a vote before we've really explored all the issues that some people may have about a decision. And a concern that we start mainly communicating by online communication. That's really just emphasising the importance of face-to-face connections, the importance of gatherings, and particularly gathering in large numbers. I don't know that these are quite the next 1 to 3 years, but this is the final page. And these are the three main elements that we had to choose out of a whole plethora of things that we came up with in three different think tanks. So building dedicated teaching teams and a focus on mentoring teachers. So this is really important. And actually, we've already had a really great example of this happening through the Seeker Project when Ratnaguna offered an online teaching mentoring course for people in Australia, and it was
and New Zealand,
and it was fully subscribed to, and we're really keen that we have more. There's others of us who'd like that to happen again. So, and also to supporting outlying areas as well, where sometimes we only have one, two order members, and they do need the support. And so, yeah, that was very important. The Seeker Project is so much a part of this, and actually very much part of this as well. So that this underlines just how important the Seeker Project is to our area. And the culture of feedback, so us learning as part of the teacher training, in a way, learning, and it's part of our ordination training, ways of communicating where we can feedback more honestly, kindly with each other. And so we become more confident in our feedback culture. Sharing people and resources internationally, again, the Seeker Project, clear resource packs for groups and centres, that's being worked on, which is fantastic. Encouraging confidence to spread the Dharma in new situations, with wise support in new situations. So the wise support is really important there. So connecting outlying situations with others, with supportive conditions. And then finally, the third point was a strong flavour of the transcendental, which we've touched on earlier. But in terms of our area, trying to build retreat situations and communities in each area. So building situations where we can, as an order, have more intensive practice. And this was a strong call out from also, as well as the think tank, from our area convention that we held in May, that there were a number of order members who really wanted a much deeper experience of being with each other, living together, retreat-like situations for long periods of time.
That mean urban communities as well, or more rural communities?
It was more coming from the basis, I think, of retreat centres and building up more sort of like Adastana-like situations in many ways. It was more that end.
That and also more order retreats, I think. It was more of an emphasis on longer order retreats, so really intense, more intensive practice. To use the language, Adastana-like conditions was what the green was.
And opportunities also for young people to experience intensity of practice. We've had the great benefit of having Dharma Kumara out there as a young person's coordinator. He's been travelling to the main centres, and that's so we're starting on that as well. And well-resourced retreat centres. We've lost two viharas recently in Australasia. We've lost Naga Naga in New South Wales. And we've lost a women's vihara near Wellington. But we have two retreat centres, Vijayaloka near Sydney and Sudarshanaloka in New Zealand, that we're really keen to support, and they need more resourcing to be able to provide some of this, you know, more intensive situations. So that was a very clear possibility that we start moving towards that in the next few years.
Thank you.
One really important point, I think, just to add on to that, there was a little question at the end of the think tank, what would you like to come out of this? One very clear feedback was, we want feedback from the Area Council and the International Council. What are the results of this think tank? And how can they be, so there's this question, how do we communicate back to people in the local situations the results of this think tank?
Thank you.